Boromir came to Rivendell for the Council of Elrond because of a prophetic dream. But what was the dream, and who sent it? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. Boromir often comes across as a not particularly magical character, certainly compared to the rest of the Fellowship. He is practical, strong, and pragmatic, rather than noticeably open to magical solutions to things. But the whole reason that he came into the story of the Lord of the Rings when he did, travelling up to Rivendell and joining the Council of Elrond, is because he had a dream, a prophetic dream. This is what he said. "A dream came to my brother in a troubled sleep. And afterwards a like dream came oft to him again, and once to me. In that dream I thought the eastern sky grew dark, and there was a growing thunder. But in the west a pale light lingered, and out of it I heard a voice, remote but clear, crying, 'Seek for the sword that was broken. In Imladris it dwells. There shall be counsels taken stronger than Morgul spells. There shall be shown a token that doom is near at hand. For Isildur's bane shall waken, and the halfling forth shall stand.'" This dream clearly troubled the brothers. It first came to Faramir the night before Sauron's first major move in the War of the Ring, an attack on the ancient Gondorian capital of Osgiliath, then came again to him several times afterwards, and at least once to Boromir. They consulted with Denethor, their father, who seemed a bit tight-lipped about it all, but did tell them that Imladris was the old name for the home of Elrond, that we now know as Rivendell. The rest of the words, though they make more sense to us now as we read the story from a third-person perspective, meant little to Boromir and Faramir. It seems a lot of ancient knowledge had been lost in Gondor over the centuries. Anyway, they had the clue of going to find Elrond to get counsel, and Faramir offered to go. Boromir overruled him, though, playing the protective older brother card, as it would be a long and dangerous journey, and Boromir set off in search of Imladris and Elrond. We don't read much about Boromir's journeying to Rivendell, other than the fact that it took him along some long-forgotten paths and took 110 days. It was quite the journey, which shows how seriously he took this. Sauron was threatening his homeland, and he, the heir to the Steward of Gondor, abandoned its defence for months on end to chase down a rather vague clue from a dream. This dream clearly wasn't just a normal dream. It felt important, very important. So what does the dream mean? Let's quickly break it down line by line. "Seek for the sword that was broken" is a reference to Narsil. Narsil, of course, was the sword of King Elendil, who used it right at the end of the Second Age when fighting Sauron in the last alliance of elves and men. Elendil was killed, and Narsil was broken, but Isildur picked it up and used it to cut the One Ring from Sauron's finger. So Boromir had to seek that sword. After the last alliance, it was passed down through the line of the kings of Arnor, and after that kingdom's downfall, from king in exile to king in exile. By the end of the Third Age, it was held by Aragorn, a symbol of him being the rightful king, and Aragorn brought it to Rivendell, so in Imladris it dwells. So bringing Boromir, the steward heir of Gondor, remember the stewards were technically just looking after Gondor until the true king returned, to find the symbol of Aragorn's kingship is quite a big thing. This isn't just about seeking wise counsel about Sauron's latest attack. It was heralding the end of the line of steward rulers of Gondor, because their king had finally returned. Boromir was not to rule Gondor after his father died, as he had been brought up to believe he would. "There shall be counsels taken stronger than Morgul spells." Morgul spells was a way the people of Middle-earth often referred to evil magic. So this included Morgul blades, like that which Frodo was stabbed by, the magic that made the ringwraiths, and much more. With retrospect, we can say that the plans and counsels taken at Rivendell undoubtedly did prove to be stronger than all of Sauron's dark magic, but it may not have seemed that way at the time. At Rivendell, Frodo was cured of the wound from the Morgul blade. The Fellowship was formed there, and the plan devised there to destroy the ring in the Cracks of Doom, which obviously ultimately led to the destruction of Sauron and his evil magic. So, yes, the counsels and wisdom of Rivendell did prove to be stronger than Morgul spells. Next in the prophecy was, "There shall be shown a token that doom is near at hand." The word token here is interesting because it is used elsewhere in the Council of Elrond. When Glóin recounts the story of Sauron's messenger coming to the Lonely Mountain, wanting a token from them. The token being Bilbo, the ring thief. The token is there at Rivendell, and doom is at hand. Sauron's doom at the Cracks of Doom, Boromir's doom at Amon Hen, and doom for so many others. The world would be shaken hugely by the events that followed the Council of Elrond. Finally, for Isildur's bane shall waken, and the halfling forth shall stand. Is pretty self-explanatory. Isildur's bane is another name for the One Ring. It was Isildur's decision to keep the ring that led to his own downfall, and the halfling is, of course, Frodo. Yes, the whole fellowship set out on the quest, but Elrond was very clear in entrusting the task of destroying the ring to Frodo alone. This was his quest, and the others were his companions, commissioned to accompany, help, and protect him only as long as they each chose to. So, taking all that together, the purpose of this dream is to get its recipient to go to Rivendell at just the right time for the Council of Elrond, arriving around the same time as Legolas with news from the elves, Gimli with news from the dwarves, Gandalf with news of Saruman, and Aragorn with the hobbits. It's all very serendipitous, or perhaps fate or destiny. Prophecy in the world of J.R.R. Tolkien is generally to be relied upon. But just getting Boromir to Rivendell and sharing his news is not all that's going on here. There's also confirmation here of Aragorn's status as king in exile. Being outed like this in front of so many, and particularly Boromir, who would perhaps lose the most from Aragorn's arrival, definitely sets him on the path to becoming the returning king. And I don't think it's pushing it too far to suggest that the words of that prophecy, particularly the last line about a halfling, also played into Frodo's mind as he was deciding to take the ring onwards. His thoughts just before saying he would take it were of him feeling that he was awaiting the pronouncement of some doom, the same language as in the prophecy. So if this prophecy was not just about getting Boromir to Rivendell, but pushing Frodo and Aragorn and others to their fates, who might have sent that dream? Well, Tolkien doesn't tell us anywhere, and it wasn't in any of the scraps of notes that he left behind, so we're left to speculate a little. I think we can safely rule out any of the characters at the council itself. Gandalf and Elrond appear oblivious to the dream until it is revealed to them, and there's no reason for them to send it. And it wouldn't be like them to feign ignorance once Boromir is there. No, this seems to come from beyond Middle-earth. And we do have one clue. In the dream, we're told, the verse was said by a remote but clear voice from the west. What is far away in the west? Valinor. So, perhaps Ilúvatar himself, or one of the Valar. And I think there is a very clear favourite here. Ulmo, the third most powerful of the Valar. He's certainly powerful enough to do it, and of all of the Valar, we are told that he was closest to and most supportive of elves and humans, never abandoning them, we are told, and keeping a closer track on what was going on with them than even Manwë himself. So he sounds like the kind of being who would want to get involved. And he has a track record for this kind of thing. Back in the First Age, he appeared in a dream to cousins Finrod and Turgon to direct them how to stay safe from Morgoth, Sauron's old master, and he went on to intervene several other times to help strategically important elves and humans. We should also note that when Faramir and Boromir got these visions, they were by the banks of the estuary of the Anduin River, and Ulmo is known as the Lord of Waters. We don't know it was him, but he seems to easily be the most likely candidate. It would be odd if he hadn't intervened somewhere in this existential fight for elves and humans. But finally, we do have to address one final twist in this tale. Because we have to acknowledge that although the dream did come to Boromir, and Boromir was the person who followed its instructions and sought in Ladris, it wasn't originally intended for him. It came first and most often to Faramir. So was this intended for him, not Boromir? It's an interesting thought experiment to work through what would have happened if Faramir had gone to Rivendell, not Boromir. Eminent Tolkien scholar Tom Shippey is of the view that Faramir would have been a much better candidate for the Fellowship. And it's hard to disagree. When Frodo and Sam meet him in Ithilien en route to Mordor, he had the chance to take the ring off of them, take them back to Minas Tirith, kill Gollum, but he does none of that. Contrary to the films, of course. He lets them go on their way. Might he have managed to resist the power of the ring that Boromir fell prey to at Amon Hen? It seems possible. The Fellowship could have survived to cross the Anduin. But then what? They surely wouldn't have teamed up with Gollum, and what if it were Boromir who then found and captured them in Ithilien, not Faramir, empowered by an overwhelming force who obeyed him? Would he have taken them back to Minas Tirith? Probably. And Aragorn wouldn't have been free to challenge Sauron so blatantly, drawing out his forces from Mordor and opening up the way to Mount Doom. Would the Fellowship have even succeeded but for that? It seems unlikely. So perhaps it took Boromir having the dream once to take it seriously and put it to his father to make the perfect timeline work. We know how Denethor didn't really rate or love Faramir, so perhaps he wouldn't have allowed anyone to go searching for Imladris if Faramir had raised the matter on his own without Boromir's intervention. And perhaps it took Faramir all those dreams to take so seriously the importance of the halfling. It didn't lead to him heading off to Imladris, but he didn't forget it. It really was that dream that tipped the balance to him allowing the hobbits to keep going and complete their mission. As always with this story, we come back around to the fact that for the ring to be destroyed the way it was a very, very long shot. Everything had to happen exactly as it did. Faramir going to Rivendell instead of Boromir sounds like a good idea on the surface, but the butterfly effect of that would have resounded through the story. No, Faramir had to have that dream all those times. Boromir also had to have it once and pull rank on his brother. Faramir's dream was vital to the success of the Fellowship. I'm sure that's why Ulmo, the Valar who loved elves and men and never abandoned them, sent it in the first place. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.